All this passed through Bean's mind, not so much verbally as with a clear and almost instantaneous understanding that within that crew there was no power at all, compared to the power of the teachers, before the uniformed catcallers reached him. When they saw Bean, so much smaller than any of the other kids, they broke out laughing, hooting, howling. "That one isn't big enough to be a turd! I can't believe he can walk! Diddums woozums, mama! Is it even human?" Bean tuned them out immediately, but he could feel the enjoyment of the kids ahead of him in line. They had been humiliated in the shuttle. Now it was Bean's turn to be mocked. They loved it. And so did Bean, because it meant that he was seen as less of a rival. By diminishing him, the passing soldiers had made him just that much safer from... From what? What was the danger here? For there would be danger. That he knew. There was always danger. And since the teachers had all the power, the danger would come from them. But Dymac had started things out by turning the other kids against him. So the children themselves were the weapons of choice. Bean had to get to know the other kids, not because they themselves were going to be his problem, but because their weaknesses, their desires, could be used against him by the teachers. And to protect himself, Bean would have to work to undercut their hold on the other children. The only safety here was to subvert the teacher's influence. And yet that was the greatest danger, if he was caught doing it. They palmed in on a wall-mounted pad, then slid down a pole. The first time Bean had ever done it with a smooth shaft. In Rotterdam, all his sliding had been on rain spouts, signposts, and light poles. They ended up in a section of battle school with higher gravity. Bean did not realize how light they must have been on the barracks level until he felt how heavy he was down in the gym. "This is just a little heavier than Earth normal gravity," said Dymac. "You have to spend at least a half hour a day here, or your bones start to dissolve. And you have to spend the time exercising so you keep at peak endurance. And that's the key. Endurance exercise, not bulking up. You're too small for your bodies to endure that kind of training, and it fights you here. Stamina. That's what we want." The words meant almost nothing to the kids, but soon the trainer had made it clear. Lots of running on treadmills, riding on cycles, stair-stepping, push-ups, sit-ups, chin-ups, back-ups, but no weights. Some weight equipment was there, but it was all for the use of teachers. "Your heart rate is monitored from the moment you enter here," said the trainer. "If you don't have your heart rate elevated within 5 minutes of arrival and you don't keep it elevated for the next 25 minutes, it goes on your record and I see it on my control board here." "I get a report on it too," said Dymac. "And you go on the pig list for everyone to see you've been lazy." Pig list. So that's the tool they used, shaming them in front of the others. Stupid. As if Bean cared. It was the monitoring board that Bean was interested in. How could they possibly monitor their heart rates and know what they were doing automatically from the moment they arrived? He almost asked the question until he realized the only possible answer. The uniform. It was in the clothing. Some system of sensors. It probably told them a lot more than heart rate. For one thing, they could certainly track every kid wherever he was in the station all the time. There must be hundreds and hundreds of kids here, and there would be computers reporting the whereabouts, the heart rates, and who could guess what other information about them. Was there a room somewhere with teachers watching every step they took? Or maybe it wasn't the clothes. After all, they had to palm in before coming down here, presumably to identify themselves. So maybe there were special sensors in this room. Time to find out. Bean raised his hand. "Sir," he said. "Yes?" The trainer did a double take on seeing Bean's size, and a smile played around the corners of his mouth. He glanced at Dymac. Dymac did not crack a smile or show any understanding of what the trainer was thinking. "Is the heart rate monitor in our clothing?" If we take off any part of our clothes while we're exercising, does it...
You are not authorized to be out of uniform in the gym, said the trainer. The room is kept cold on purpose so that you will not need to remove clothing. You will be monitored at all times.
Not really an answer, but it told him what he needed to know.
The monitoring depended on the clothes. Maybe there was an identifier in the clothing, and by palming in, they told the gym sensors which kid was wearing which set of clothing.
That would make sense.
So clothing was probably anonymous from the time you put on a clean set until you palmed in somewhere.
That was important. It meant that it might be possible to be untagged without being naked.
Naked, Bean figured, would probably be conspicuous around here. They all exercised, and the trainer told them which of them were not up to the right heart rate, and which of them were pushing too hard and would fatigue themselves too soon. Bean quickly got an idea of the level he had to work at, and then forgot about it. He'd remember by reflex, now that he knew. It was mealtime, then. They were alone in the mess hall. As fresh arrivals, they were on a separate schedule that day. The food was good, and there was a lot of it.
Bean was stunned when some of the kids looked at their portion and complained about how little there was. It was a feast. Bean couldn't finish it.
The whiners were informed by the cooks that the quantities were all adapted to their individual dietary needs. Each kid's portion size came up on a computer display when he palmed in upon entering the mess hall.
So you don't eat without your palm on a pad. Important to know.
Bean soon found out that his size was going to get official attention. When he brought his half-finished tray to the disposal unit, an electronic chiming sound brought the on-duty nutritionist to speak to him.
It's your first day, so we aren't going to be rigid about it. But your portions are scientifically calibrated to meet your dietary needs, and in the future, you will finish every bit of what you are served.
Bean looked at him without a word. He had already made his decision. If his exercise program made him hungrier, then he'd eat more. But if they were expecting him to gorge himself, they could forget it. It would be a simple enough matter to dump excess food onto the trays of the whiners. They'd be happy with it, and Bean would eat only as much as his body wanted. He remembered hunger very well, but he had lived with Sister Carlotta for many months, and he knew to trust his own appetite. For a while, he had let her goad him into eating more than he actually was hungry for. The result had been a sense of logginess, a harder time sleeping, and a harder time staying awake. He went back to eating only as much as his body wanted, letting his hunger be his guide, and it kept him sharp and quick. That was the only nutritionist he trusted. Let the whiners get sluggish. Dymax stood after several of them had finished eating.
When you're through, go back to the barracks. If you think you can find it. If you have any doubt, wait for me and I'll bring the last group back myself.
The corridors were empty when Bean went out into the corridor. The other kids palmed the wall and their green, brown, green strip turned on. Bean watched them go. One of them turned back.
Aren't you coming?
Bean said nothing. There was nothing to say. He was obviously standing still. It was a stupid question. The kid turned around and jogged on down the corridor toward the barracks. Bean went the other way. No stripes on the wall. He knew that there was no better time to explore than now. If he was caught out of the area he was supposed to be in, they'd believe him if he claimed to have got lost. The corridor sloped up both behind him and in front of him. To his eyes, it looked like he was always going uphill, and when he looked back, it was uphill to go back the way he had come. Strange. But Dymac had already explained that the station was a huge wheel, spinning in space so that centrifugal force would replace gravity. That meant the main corridor on each level was a big circle, so you'd always come back to where you started, and down was always toward the outside of the circle. Bean made the mental adjustment. It was dizzying at first, to picture himself on his side as he walked along, but then he mentally changed the orientation so that he imagined the station as a wheel on a cart, with him at the bottom of it no matter how much it turned. That put the people above him upside down, but he didn't care.
Wherever he was the bottom, and that way down stayed down and up stayed up.